This is Classic Business with Michael Avery on Classic 102.7 in Gauteng and Fine Music Radio in Cape Town.
Well, that was a nice little segue from the Africa feature and a focus on how we can get the public and the private sector to work closer together to unlock growth. Increasingly in South Africa, water is being seen as the next potential handbrake to economic growth if we don't address some of the key issues. And the discussions about how to ensure that we don't see water as the next Eskom have been happening in earnest behind the scenes at fora like the Public-Private Growth Initiative, which is steered by Rolf Meyer and Johan van Sail. The fact is, water is one of those issues. It's shared by everyone. It's got constitutionally enshrined value. It's got economic value. You know, ask anyone down in Cape Town what they were thinking just before day zero. They'll understand quite fully just how important the scarce resource is. And it's a very difficult resource to govern and to manage. In fact, the problem is usually neither the water nor the rules, but the people concerned. And there has been some active lobbying for the sector to get an independent water regulator. So to find out more about this concept and the potential that an independent water regulator has to really unlock funding in the sector, it's a great pleasure to welcome firstly Fred Platt, who's the CEO of Accentuate. It's a group of companies involved in water treatment, chemical blending and industrial and commercial cleaning and metal treatment as well, amongst others. Fred, always good to see you.
Thank you.
In studio as well, we've got Benoit Leroy, who's the CEO of Water Shortage South Africa. We'll find out a little bit more about Water Shortage South Africa in a short while. Benoit, good to see you.
Evening, yes, likewise.
And on the line, Julius Kleinhans, Executive Manager at Outer. Thanks for joining us, Julius.
Always a pleasure, thank you.
Now, Benoit, kick us off here. Firstly, what is Water Shortage South Africa's objective?
So, our objective is to not react to symptoms, but to really look at exploring and unblocking the constraints we have. So getting down to the root causes. And one of the root causes of our issues in the water sector are that we don't have an independent ombudsman or an independent water regulator. So I'm not talking about economic regulator. I'm talking about the price, the quality, the quantity, the place, and the likes. And so we took this project on jointly with Outer to use both organizations' experience and resources to really lobby for the regulator. And we've had very good reception, which is encouraging, so that this can sit independently like other regulators do. But it's a little bit more complicated than the other regulators, as you're alluding with water. We're not talking about the flow of electrons with energy and the likes. It's quite complicated. It's a national resource, but so are minerals. So it's quite a difficult thing, maybe for the layperson, but it is something that has to be embarked upon to unlock the investment into our sector. And to do things, let's say, with lessons learned from the energy sector. So water shortage is really focusing around that, and we are technology and politically agnostic.
That's a very important departure point. And Julius, I'm just going to ask you to set the scene for us here now that we have the high-level rationale for the introduction of an independent water regulator. We certainly need to see confidence for private sector money to flow into the sector. Just how serious is the country's water problem?
No, it's very serious. You know, we're 30th driest country in the world, and I think we've started seeing some sporadic issues, you know, from Cape Town today in Pretoria East. That's just infrastructure issues. But it's become a systemic problem in the country. You know, we don't have water. We highly rely on the city to provide us with a significant amount of water, especially the economic hub of the country, which is Gauteng. If you just speak about that, by 2030, we won't have enough water for the economy to grow. In fact, the Lesotho Islands Water Project Phase 2 was supposed to supply Gauteng with water already last year. And yes, they haven't started building the dam. So I think it's got significant repercussions on an economic perspective. But just the quality of water that's deteriorating, I think, has really sounded the alarms that awoke and the idea of the independent water regulator, especially because, you know, to uphold and protect our constitution, we do believe that tax money should be used adequately. And, you know, that's where Outer also comes in as holding to account fighting maladministration and corruption. And, you know, there's enough money in the country. It's not spent correctly, and we don't see government holding its own to account when it comes to pollution and the quality and supply of sufficient water to the people and business. And, you know, there's a lot of innovative space. There's a lot of good solutions. However, we don't see the political to execute that. And I think we cannot afford for that not to take place in the very near future.
And I had Andy Crocker of Astral Foods, the MD of Astral Foods, on the show not too long ago, talking about the issues that they're facing at their Standerton Goldie poultry processing facility. Eventually, they got national government to intervene to help secure water offtake from the local authority there. Hundreds of jobs imperiled, an investment. It's a huge cost to shareholders. So these things are very real. We're not talking about hypotheticals at the moment. Fred, just how big is the hole and what sort of capital investment will be required over the next 10 years to plug it?
Michael, I think, you know, at the end of the day, the number that's being thrown around at this point in time is R1 trillion worth of investment. It's about $100 billion per annum for the next 10 years. Understanding that, it is clear that government, and I think by admission, government understands that it doesn't have that type of funding, which means there needs to be public sector participation. In order for that public sector participation to take place, we need two things. We need a regulated environment with certainty, and we obviously at the end of the day need a contracting framework. And that's why these issues are so important, because the skills are there, the technology is there, the funding is available, but we need to create this environment within which both the government and the private sector can interface. And that's really what we're pursuing at the PPGI.
Why does it have to be an independent regulator, Benoit, when we've got the National Water Act that deals with the management and the use of water resources and the CMAs, and we do seem to have a legislated, regulated framework? Where has that broken down? Where have the shortcomings been exposed in terms of water regulation in South Africa?
Yeah, without drilling into detail, we've got adequate legislative frameworks, so to speak. We have 9 CMAs, 2 are functional, 7 aren't. So the framework, the policy is there, it's not implemented. The regulator sits within Department of Water and Sanitation. The budget's about $550 million a year. The basic dashboard is the Blue and Green Drop Report, the No Drop Report. It hasn't been around since 2012. It has bad news in it. We all know that. The department talks about the bad news. So the Department of Water and Sanitation is our custodian of our water, being a nationalized resource. The other thing is it's the bulk water producer. So it's like having the referee, use your fullback as a referee who talks to your fly-off all the time in a rugby match, okay? So what we're saying is that fundamentally the system is flawed, and let's not worry about the past. You know, going forward, we need regulation. We need regulation, a lot of things, because we're evolving, and the landscape has changed in South Africa. Is our water was fully allocated in 2002, 98%. That's as good as fully. Since then, we've dried out. Due to climate change, population has grown, urbanization's grown, and 50% of our water precipitates or rains over 8% of our surface area. And it's different to the 8% of 20 years ago. So what the government is there to generate policy, legislative frameworks. When it comes to reffing the game, we have courts. In between that, we have regulators. The regulators, generally speaking, are not part of the policy generating body. They arbitrate or regulate according to the regulations in place, the policy in place. They cannot operate outside of that. They will get challenged in court. Right now, it's in one department that's dysfunctional, that is bankrupt, and the likes. And we need to, in part of rebuilding that, we need to have an independent referee in the system. They can carry on with policy, carry on with influence, let's say from the private sector, and have the regulator completely separate, because the quality of our water resources, so we've got less resource, it's not as predictable, and the quality is compromised now because of 4.2 billion litres of sewage that is semi or untreated of the 5 billion we produce a day, which is in actual fact a resource that we are not harnessing, and we're polluting our environment, which affects agriculture, the food chain. I can carry on for a long time. So we really need an independent referee, And if you're not happy with the referee, then we go to court. Right now, we don't have that system in there, and that's really separating the producer from being the referee.
And Benoit, to stay with you for a second longer, you are currently working with inside the framework of the Public-Private Growth Initiative. We know that is endorsed by the President, who is a big fan of the National Development Plan. The National Development Plan speaks, when you speak of regulation broadly, of independence.
Yes.
So quite clearly, the current structure with all the conflicts that you've mentioned, it doesn't sit within the National Development Plan's ideal of what a regulator should look like. So there must be some strong support inside the PPGI for this this independent water regulator.
There's huge support within the PPGI process. I've yet to come across anybody from, let's say, from the public sector, from government, and we're dealing with the administration and with the political heads. So nobody has said it's a bad idea. In actual fact, the narrative is catching on. Also, in the National Planning Commission, that really measures our progress or lack thereof, according to the NDP, has also agreed. Okay, and so I think we're close. I think we're very close. It's a matter of us helping to unblock the constraints that we have in a dysfunctional department. And with the sixth administration being in place now, a lot of work needs to be done. And we'll help from the private sector, our job, and from societies, in actual fact, to assist as much as possible in getting that regulator independent and into place, and also not big bang approach. What we're saying, let's phase in, you know, so blue and green drop report, for example, we could get one out this year. That would be the first very good thing.
Wow, in 7 years, I mean, it is phenomenal when you mention those numbers. We haven't had one since 2012. Julius, your sense of the sixth administration, a lot of people express their dismay at how slowly things are moving. I think there was a sense that with the election behind us, with a mandate firmly tucked under the president's arm, that we'd start to see things moving at a more rapid rate. Are things happening quickly behind the scenes that we perhaps unaware of? What's your sense of how the sixth administration is approaching such a key issue such as water?
Yeah, I think there's definitely some things happening behind the scenes. Unfortunately, with the previous dispensation, I think it's quite evident that the country is not in a good space, and a lot of things have to be fixed. It's, some of these issues are so deeply entrenched, and it's clear that the new dispensation needs a lot of help, and I think that's where Benoit and our other colleague also mentioned, you know, it seems like the doors are starting to open for private business, for communities to get involved. It's critical, and you know, the buck doesn't only stop there. You know, as citizens of the country, we need to also step up and start bringing our part. You know, we're one of the driest countries in the world, but one of the countries that use the most water per capita. And we need to start pulling our weight as well and work with the new dispensation. But yeah, the systems, the departments are being fixed. If you look at the National Prosecution Authority, for instance, which should play a role in this, they're fixing the systems which has been broken. It takes time, but I do believe that we will see some consequences coming up shortly. And you know, just from Arthur's point of view, we see that the regulator has failed, for instance, in the Aurora case with the pollution of that acid mine drainage. And those directors are in court as we speak. I think they're appearing on the 7th of August again, and that's due to public pressure. So I think it's positive. I think we've got a lot of hope, and water plays such a big role in our economy. There's so much solutions and technologies at play that it can be a big economic driver on its own.
And water does have that ability to actually bring people together and around the table, rather than, you know, that often touted, what I think is a myth, that it drives wars. I think it focuses energy because of its critical importance. Fred, from a business perspective, though, R1 trillion is a lot of money. You break those down into 100 billion rand a year, that's several very large capital projects. You're not going to get private sector investment into the sector unless you have some form of certainty and confidence. Something similar to what we saw in the REAP program, for example, and we saw that IPP office that almost sat ad hoc underneath the Department of Energy. Unfortunately, Karen Breitenbach has been removed now. Don't ask me why. But is that the sort of confidence and certainty you're hoping an independent water regulator will provide?
Yeah, I think the important thing to understand is that water is just such a critical issue that we cannot afford to have it fail. You know, politicians come and go. Administrations may even come and go, but the challenge of water will remain. So as an active citizenry, we have, and as industry, we have an absolute responsibility to engage constructively in finding those solutions. And obviously, the lessons learned from the renewable energy program form the foundation upon which we can start building a future and in which we can constructively engage with government going forward.
Benoit, as we wrap this up, I know academic Mike Miller, who is a former DG in the Department of Water Affairs, is sort of strongly opposed to this idea. There are notions that we're now trying to privatize the water sector. I mean, what do you make of that?
Short answer, he's allowed to have his opinion. The reality is global trends, precedents and the likes is to have independent regulation, and there's many ways of skinning that. We can do it nationally, provincially, by catchment management area and the likes, but you cannot be referee and player at the same time. And the majority agree within the administration, within the politicians, within business. Within business, we've got people who are against this. There's some demand, high demand sectors who don't want this because they thrive off a lack of regulation, for example. So not everybody is on board necessarily, but for the majority are. And, you know, with respect, Mike's entitled to his opinion. He's outnumbered.
Fred? Yeah, I think in an ideal world, government could take responsibility for the water, provide the water, take, you know, no privatization, no private participation. It's fantastic. The reality of the matter is we are where we are. The system is dysfunctional. There is investment required. The investment is not available from government. And so within that space is our reality. So we all have a wish list, but at the end of the day, we've got to just address the facts as they stand, and that is we need investment into the sector. Government can't do that investment on its own. The private sector is willing to do so. We need to find the common area in which we both build towards a beautiful and a better South Africa.
And Julius, in terms of the composition of an independent water regulator that gives all parties, government, business, labour, all users of water, agriculture, confidence in its independence, what sort of structure are you envisaging?
Yeah, I know that's something I'd be exploring. You won't have the ideal structure around yet, but yes, it does inform all components of industry and communities as well as government. We have seen, unfortunately, like I've mentioned before, that the Department of Water and Sanitation, the legislation is so clear and so strong, it shouldn't be difficult to put a proper policy together. However, it's such a mammoth task and it's such a critical element in South Africa that we cannot wait and see whether the theories like Mike Miller has mentioned can work, because it has failed and we have to step up and see this through.
Yeah, unfortunately, the problem is, as you've exactly articulated, Julius and Fred, the time is now to act with the cards that we've been dealt. And unfortunately, Nombula Makhanyane did a real job in gutting the Department of Water Affairs, and we do need business to be able to step into the breach. That was Julius Kleinans, Executive Manager at Alta, Fred Platt, the CEO of Accentuate, and Benoit Leroy, CEO of Water Shortage South Africa, speaking about the need for an independent water regulator to help plug that 1 trillion rand deficit over the next decade in terms of water infrastructure. Well, that's a wrap for the show tonight. We've got a short week for you, and a special Women's Day program lineup for you, all female lineup between 6 and 8 o'clock on Friday, which is International Women's Day. It's also going to include a selection of music performed or written by South African female musicians. So that's special for Women's Day. We've got Anne Williams in the More Music Breakfast slot for Kutlwano Fine Living. We've got Bully G in tune in the afternoon with Shireen Hollier. And then Weekend Wind Down with Carolyn Stay. No classic business. We do get a break now and again. As I said, that's a wrap. Thanks to sound engineers Mataba Taba Radebe and Mawanda Lorbe, and producer Andries Mahlangu. Sylvia A is in the Jazz Lounge in Cape Town, and in Gauteng, Carolyn Stain is up next with the smoothest classics on Winding Down. Good night.